Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 333, recorded on June 2nd, 2017. Enjoy. All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. This show is sponsored by HelloFresh, the leading meal kit delivery service. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS30 when you subscribe. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
I guess I'm not well. I'm a little sad.
Don't be sad.
Jeff's not here.
Well, I mean, that's really on him, honestly, so I wouldn't be sad about it. Or, I mean, I hope it's not a thing.
I miss him already.
Well, he'll be back next week to talk about WWDC, because that's Monday. I like doing the show not right after the Apple events, because we get a little bit of time to digest and think about what everything means. But Apple has begun putting up their fancy decorations all over the area surrounding the McHenry Convention Center in San Jose, which, you know, that's always a fun sign, but it's a little bit weird. This is the first time in, what, over 10 years that Apple has not had the convention in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's San Jose, what? They're about an hour south of San Francisco.
I guess it probably depends on how traffic is these days.
Sure. So, you know, near, very close area,
it could be much worse. I have no idea. I mean, yeah. Geographically, I think it's even closer than that, but maybe I'm wrong. It's been a while.
I'm talking like 2 a.m. drive time, I guess. But regardless, it's much closer to Cupertino, right? So that means less of a hassle for the Apple engineers that are going there to support the attendees and answer their questions and do all that, because as much as we like to talk about the keynote on Monday, it's really a week-long event for developers to go and not only hear about all the cool new stuff that Apple is bringing, but, you know, ask the engineers their pressing questions and you know, figure out ways to make better apps.
Yeah.
So, but we will have a keynote at 10 a.m. June 5th. I'm thinking about going to a different class so I can watch it live, because they will be streaming it live on their website, right? Apple.com.
I believe
they have they have a little button down there right now. You can even
add. Yeah, they've already updated the app.
Yep.
The Apple TV app.
Yeah, so you can watch it on your Apple TV, your iPhone. How do you watch it on your iPhone? Just go to the website, right?
Is there no keynote app for iOS too?
I think there is a keynote app. I think that's more for attendees. You could probably watch it through the app, but I'm guessing the best way is to just go to apple.com. So, and of course they'll be using QuickTime, because daylight.
It's called Apple Events app, right?
No.
Yeah, the Apple Events app.
There is.
Yeah, but it's only for Apple TV.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's what it's called for Apple TV. It's the Apple Events app.
Yes.
And it just has their events videos.
Yep.
But I thought maybe it was also available for iOS, but it doesn't look that way. So you just go to apple.com and play it in QuickTime on your phone, I guess.
Yep. So what are we expecting at WWDC? We're expecting
everything.
We're expecting some new Macs, right?
Everything.
New MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I don't even know if they'll talk about them.
What else?
I think it's a rev to the MacBook Pro, just like new processors, new configurations, and that could just be rolled out on the website. I think they're going to have way too much to cover.
So they're going to have, they're going to be talking about
iOS 10 and iOS,
right? iOS 11, Mac OS 10, I guess it's Mac OS 10.3 or 10.13.
Mac OS, whatever it's going to be called.
Yep. New versions of watchOS and tvOS, the much anticipated 10.5 inch iPad Pro, and
cred ton of hardware,
very likely a Siri speaker, although the latest rumors imply that that will not have a display on it.
If it doesn't, they got totally sideswiped by Andy Rubin this week.
How's that? Tell me more. What are you talking about?
Andy Rubin at Code announced his new company with the new phone and with the new home speaker, and it looks freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to have all the privacy. It's called Essential Home. You didn't see that this week?
Nope.
Oh, just looks awesome. Jealous. It looks like the thing that Apple should be building. It's incredible. It's round. It kind of looks like a nest
wheel?
In some ways.
Cheese wheel?
Huh?
Looks like a wheel of cheese to me.
Oh, it looks awesome.
I mean, it looks like an awesome wheel of cheese.
Stainless steel on the bottom. It's going to work with Alexa, HomeKit, Google Assistant. Has a round display built into it, so it can actually show you information and stuff like that. And it's going to keep all of the data and processing on the device. So it's going to have the same kind of security thought in it that Apple uses.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Phil Schiller has said in the past that he thinks the current state of the smart speaker is encumbered by a lack of displays, which is kind of what led everybody to believe Apple would be introducing one with a display. But what was this? This is a report from Bloomberg.
Right.
They're saying that it probably won't have a display.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be a huge mistake. Apple should take it out of the keynote and rethink it now. Because they've already come out and said, oh, it should have a display. And then they have a competitor who announces, oh, here's a really cool thing. And Apple's, so what does that leave Apple for their product in terms of an edge?
Well, they're going to say it works with all the other Apple stuff in your life.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if this were the case,
there's also the rumor that it was going to be like meant to be a replacement for like Sonos.
Yeah, right? It seems like there's a lot of weight on the sound quality built into this thing.
Right. So it's really a wireless home speaker system that has Siri built into it, not just a little like Bluetooth speaker, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to have some kind of simulated surround sound with smarts that analyze the acoustics of the room and that sort of thing.
Is it going to have the same price as a Sonos soundbar? Is it going to be $700?
Probably. I was going to say, Sonos is really expensive, so Apple's not going to have any trouble competing with that. No, I can't.
Why is it starting to sound like they're bringing back the
iPod Hi-Fi?
iPod Hi-Fi, but with Siri.
Because that's what it feels like.
Is that what it's going to be?
Man, I truly don't understand. So you have one of these smart things?
What smart things?
Smart speaker. You have a Google Home or an Alexa?
I have an Alexa, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see, I don't get it.
I have a Dot.
You have a Dot. I don't understand it. How often do you use the Dot?
Never. I hate it.
Cool. Send it to me so I can.
My wife hated it so bad it had to go into my office, and it wasn't allowed to be anywhere near the rest of the family.
Did she feel it was spying on her, or?
Yeah, and it was just going off all the time on its own for no reason. Hmm. And yes, we changed the keyword and we tried different keywords. So for all the people who want to write in and say that that's not a problem.
Yeah. So, well, in addition to...
I'll be completely... Just let me put it to you this way. I will be on completely the other side of the house. Like, it's in my office and I will be in the living room and hear like the little voice come on. Well, I didn't understand what you said. And I'll be sitting here like talking to you sometimes. On a podcast or a Skype call, and it'll just like turn on, like the light will turn on, and it doesn't even give any voice response, which is super creepy.
Yeah, it's an Amazon spy box. I don't want that.
They say they're not, though.
And Michael, then suddenly all of your ads change.
They don't do that. What's really cool is you can go into your Amazon account and you can listen to all the recordings, which that's not creepy either.
That is wow. No, that's telling. That's actually kind of bad. You don't want that stuff saved. Can you tell them to not save it?
I don't know.
It's nice that they're up front.
It only captures when you say the keyword, though.
That's what they say. Well,
that's okay. That's all that you have access to in terms of the recordings.
Well, okay. Maybe it
but
only.
It's funny to listen to them.
Maybe
because,
it only activates.
Again, it's a far field. It's a far field mic, so you can like barely make out. You know, a lot of them. What you said yourself. So.
Yeah. Okay. You know, maybe they'll do something where the screen is your phone, but at that point, why?
I talked about that, you know, the thing is I don't want them falling back on the screen. So in some ways it's better that it doesn't have a screen. It's just, the thing is that again, Andy Rubin comes out at Code last week. He shows off this really cool home speaker product that has a screen and looks like something Apple would have designed in terms of like it's very, you know, good looking device. It looks way better than the Amazon thing or the, you know, Google Renews It air freshener. that thing looks like a Renews It. I'm sorry.
Totally.
It does. So Apple's going to have to really be something different. And plus the fact, again, that, you know, Schiller comes out and says it needs to have a screen. So if it doesn't have a screen, it's going to be sort of like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Right?
It is weird. Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, this thing, I mean, to be honest, if Apple is getting
Me Too product.
If Apple, yeah, exactly. If Apple doesn't do something significant to differentiate themselves from the other players in this market, I don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, and I have a feeling they're going to announce it, and the only thing that they're going to be able to say is, we care about your privacy.
And that's not going to entice
and
anybody.
People won't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I care. But look at how many, I know so many people that are just oozing in love with the Amazon thing.
Yeah.
All I hear from people is, it's so much better than Siri. It's so much better than anything Apple has. It works with all my home automation stuff and I absolutely love it. And it's got all these skills and I don't
we'll
get
have
it.
To
I've
wait
tried.
And see.
I want to understand it. I am not a fan.
Yeah, let's wait and see. We have more to talk about. Some interesting stuff with Google and them blocking ads in an upcoming release of the Chrome browser. Hmm. And Apple paying freelancers to improve the accuracy of Apple Maps. But first, we have to talk about our lovely sponsor, which is HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. They employ two full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure they're nutritionally balanced. All of this is delivered right to your doorstep in a recyclable, insulated box for free, and all of the ingredients are separated by recipe in a fancy little box in order to make life simple. They're now offering light spring meals and have just introduced breakfast options, which is super cool. And best of all, each recipe costs less than $10 a meal. So the box that I got included Jamie Oliver's Ali Gobi, honey glazed pork, and mozzarella crusted chicken. They were all great, but that honey glazed pork was especially wonderful. And it was really satisfying to know that I could make something that tasted so good. I love the packaging. Everything is organized and the recipes are in neat, well-designed booklets, which is great because I loved how much the recipes taught me about cooking, and I'll be using them again in the future. They include everything needed to cook the food, and of course they taste great, and there was more than enough to keep me satisfied. Best of all, I didn't have to worry about finding the ingredients or making sure I had a recipe that would work. It was all taken care of and delivered right to my door. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the code TIOSS30 when you subscribe. That's TIOSS30. Okay, so with that, let's talk about Google.
Adam, Google doing now?
Did you see this? They have in a blog post stated that they're going to be releasing a new version of Chrome for the desktop and for mobile in early next year that will block certain types of ads.
Aren't these the same guys that got in trouble for not honoring like the do not track? Like having a do not track button, but then not honoring it?
Did they get in trouble for that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess they are. I guess it is the same.
They've had a change of heart.
It's the same Google. So the idea is they're saying that certain types of ads jack up the experience of the internet, and they're not happy about that, and they want to change it. They want to fix it. I think more likely the real explanation is those ads jack up the experience and then drive people to install ad blockers, which completely block every ad on every website, which means they don't get any money. So they're going to make it so... well, they have partnered with the Better Ads, the coalition of Coalition for Better Ads. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that things like auto playing video at video with audio, ads that take over your screen, ads that force you to wait for 10 seconds before you can look at your content, which sounds a little bit like what they do on YouTube, but.
Exactly. Like we're the only ones that can have ads, and we're the only ones that can go in and bypass Apple's privacy settings and cookies and continue to track you and just not honor your wishes so that we get sued and have to pay a $17 million fine.
Well, they have the money. It's fine.
Exactly. They got a hand slap. And so now I don't know. I don't trust them.
Well,
I don't trust them at all.
It is interesting.
It's nice that they're going to do that, and I hope they do.
They're going to do it, works. And part of it, they have mentioned that, yes, they will even block Google ads if they're violating those criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I personally do not block ads. I find it fascinating how many people do.
I played around with it. Here's the thing. As ads get more and more aggressive, that's the problem. Like, the number of sites that now have autoplay video ads is getting ridiculous.
It's pretty bad.
And like, I will not even go to I have totally blocked. And I hate to say this because I like a lot of the people that write there and I like a lot of the things that some of the people write there, but I will not go to Macworld. They've just been banned. I dropped their RSS feed because I'll inevitably click on one of their things and boom, auto-playing video ad or video. Sometimes it's not even an ad. It's just auto-playing video of their own promotional stuff, but it's so annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, that's why this stuff is coming up, because advertisers are getting really forceful and pushy. But again, even Google is doing this. I was watching I didn't know YouTube started doing this, but I was watching a YouTube video and it had an ad at the beginning, which I'm used to. Fine. Okay. And it was an ad I couldn't skip. I'm watching in like a minute into the video, it starts playing another ad. Like the video just stops. It just starts playing another ad and then it goes back to the video.
Yep.
What the heck?
This is how they're monetizing. Those sorts of things, those sorts of
unless
ads.
I buy Red, right? So now I have to buy Red.
Well.
Is that right?
We're both content creators, right? And it's funny that it's ironic that we're talking about this right after.
No, it's not really ironic because there is like doing it in a way that is respectful to your advertisers, but also respectful to your audience. And then there's just the like, let me jam this down your throat. You can't avoid it. I don't care what you think.
Well, okay, but think about how much inventory do they have available? What would make this better in your mind? Yes, the pre-roll. We've all kind of grown accustomed to that. There's the post roll that everybody ignores, so it's not really a good spot. Now, putting more ads in videos in between portions, mm-hmm. as it stands now, the content is just cut off right in the middle. So perhaps it would be, I don't know how the tools are set up for YouTube creators, but maybe it would be nice if they could say, here's a good spot for an ad.
Right.
And then allow a transition.
Well, that was just it. I mean, there was like no marker. There was no indication that it was happening. And it just like cut the video. Like the person was in mid-sentence. Like,
yes.
What just happened? I thought literally something was broken.
Same. Yeah, that's how it feels.
It's just another ad. Okay. They're just monetizing their video.
Do you think that this move, given that, you know, Chrome is extremely popular, I'm a Safari user, but given how popular Chrome is, what effect do you think this is going to have, if any?
I don't know. I mean, you're going to have angry content creators. Again, the thing is it's funny that Google is the one that's doing this, right? Because they're going to just leverage whatever they want for themselves, and anybody else's ads are, you know, blocked or circumvented or whatever it might be.
Well, again, they said that they would block all ads that violate this standard, including their own. So assuming that they do play nice and are non-biased.
Right.
I wonder if this is going to increase the level of consciousness of how advertisers are choosing to present the ads. because I agree, you know, these extremely, that's probably what prompts people to install Adblock. The normal average Joe, they probably get sick of the, you know, the explode your screen, auto sound, all this other garbage, the stuff that they're talking about. That's probably what prompts them more than anything to get an Adblock, which, because, you know, you look at people who say, oh, you know, the internet's unusable without Adblock. I don't have Adblock, and I would never say that the internet is unusable. I don't even see hardly ever the ads that are on, you know, the right side of the screen. And I understand that the pre-rolls. The ads on the side of the screen? The ones that,
yeah,
are,
that you're not looking at them is the, I mean, that's why advertisers are resorting to heavier handed tactics, right?
Well, I guess, and that's part of the discussion, and, you know, maybe this will lead to more creative ad, you know, ad tactics. It's interesting. All right. So
I'm looking at a lot of these, and a lot of Google's own ads do these exact same things.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they really change it, fine, great. But again, I don't like a company sort of dictating what a content creator has to do. As much as I hate those content creation ads, like I gave the Macworld example, you know, I can deal with it on my own or not deal with it on my own. I don't need Google telling me how to manage it, I guess is what it comes down to.
Well, you could also say that one bad site spoils the whole experience. So let's say you don't do any of those nasty things. You're not doing what Macworld does.
Right.
But Macworld does it, and that prompted somebody to install an ad block, and now they don't see any ads on your site. So, yeah, it sounds like Google's trying to police the internet in an industry where they feel like they control every aspect of the
industry. But then there's the flip side of it. I have, you know, chosen now not to go to, you know, Macworld. I get what you're saying. So the concern is people are going to start installing ad blockers because of the bad actors, and then everybody suffers.
Yeah.
I get that, right? Because now you're blocking ads everywhere. You're not just selectively blocking ads
mm-hmm.
on a single site. But, you know, ad blockers have that ability. You can block by domain, too. You know, you don't have to blanket block everything.
Nobody does that.
Right. But again, I don't know. I kind of like the decision being left up to the end user to decide. You know, it's like anything else in life. You vote with your dollars and your patronage and things like that. So if you don't like something a company does, you don't like their food, you don't like their customer service, you don't like whatever, you take them out. But I don't, you know, if that's how they want to run their business, they should be able to run their business that way too.
Yeah.
Like, this is because Google has enough power and influence to now dictate how these people are going to create ads. And maybe they had customers that didn't care they had auto-playing video ads, and those were making them lots of money. But now they're going to have to take them out and lose a revenue stream. So it is a catch-22. But I know I wouldn't want anybody dictating to me how I have to do specifically the ads on my podcast. Or what kinds of ads I could do, or what products I'm allowed to advertise, or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. It's weird.
Let's move on. The last thing we have here is something about Apple Maps. So according to French blog iGeneration, Apple is has been for the last year recruiting people through a platform called TriRating to improve Apple Maps. So they're paying freelancers on average 54 cents per task, which each task, I guess, typically takes a minute or two to complete. such as running a task or running a search for McDonald's in a certain location and then providing feedback as to whether it's working properly. One of the examples that Apple provides is running a search for Machu Picchu in Somerville, Massachusetts, which I'm sure everybody who has used Apple Maps knows. If you run a search for anything like that, anything that could remotely be in another country, it's going to go
confused.
For that. Yes. So at the very least, they're working on it. So it's good to see that they're aware of that issue and are trying to fix it. It's interesting that they're paying people arguably not that much money to do this when maybe they did try. I suppose they did have the feedback system. They still have the feedback system in place. You can leave your feedback, let them know. And they do change things. I've done it in the past and they email you when they fix it. And so that's pretty cool. Uh-huh. I'm not sure. I think
they email you when they fix it now.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple of years ago.
Well, you said 54 cents per task, and the tasks typically take about a minute.
Minute or two. They're limited to 600 tasks per week and no more than 20 hours doing this. So let's say it's a part-time gig.
Well, I was just trying to figure out if each one was a minute and you're making 54 cents per minute, that's $32 an hour.
That's not bad.
And if it takes twice as long, you're about, what, $16 an hour? If each task takes 2 minutes.
So that's actually pretty good.
Yeah. So we're all right.
Although that probably doesn't involve things like...
It's not going to get you above the poverty line, probably, but...
Yeah. Yeah, maybe people working at the EPA can...
A few extra dollars, it's probably okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So do you have anything else to talk about or should we do our picks?
Do I have anything else to talk about? No. I mean, we're in a holding pattern, right? It's all about waiting for Monday at this point.
Yep.
And then it's going to be like...
An explosion.
Yeah. It's going to be an Apple puke fest.
That's a great way to put it.
I've always put it that way. That's my thing.
I guess it really is. Apple is kind of a puke fest.
Like builds up. They hold it all in.
They binge and they purge.
It's like Monty Python. Just one more whiff of thin mint, and then boom,
boom. Apple puke. Okay. Yeah. Do you got a pick?
Do I have a pick?
I can go first if you want. I can mix it up. I'm going to go first and mix it up because why not? So my pick.
I probably don't, but actually, I can come up with something.
I have two things I could talk about, but the thing that I've been enjoying the most is the Reddit app by Reddit. So
really?
Yeah.
You don't use like some third party app that's better?
Well, I have... See, that's the thing. I had been using...
Like Blue Alien or something?
I had been using Blue Alien for a long time.
Right.
But, you know, every time I go... For whatever reason, I was going to Reddit on my iPhone in the web browser. I don't know why. But it kept bugging me, and finally I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try. Why not? And so finally, did, and it's actually pretty darn good. I don't remember if I used it in the past and it wasn't as good or what, but I like it. It's simple. It's fast. It supports multiple accounts. It lets you scroll through, you've got your images and your GIFs nice and big. Yeah, it works really well. It's a solid app. And I think the best thing about, that this is doing better than any of the other Reddit apps I've used. Notifications work on this thing. So when you get a message or someone comments on your thing, and you can set up these notifications and tweak them, but you get pretty fast notifications, which is great for, you know, interacting on the community and on Reddit, in addition to, you know, all the other, you know, meme searching that you're doing.
Yep.
So yeah, it's good. Give it a try. And if you gave it a try a while ago, give it another try.
Cool.
Cause it's good. It's real good. It's free.
You know what?
Yeah.
Since we were talking about it, I'm going to pick an ad blocker.
All right.
One blocker. It is awesome. It's available for Mac and iOS. So if you do want to block ads, you can use One Blocker.
Is that one word?
It's even endorsed by Marco Armont and John Gruber. So there you go.
I think that's the one I have. Is it the purple thing? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's nice is you can selectively block certain URLs. And there are situations, I think, where people do want to block things. And you can block just like Twitter, you know, the Twitter widgets, or you can control comments separately. You can do whitelisting. So if you have those pages, you know, the sites that you do really want to support, you know, you can go in there and whitelist them and say, okay, these are okay. So I've done that. I ended up, I mean, honestly, like we were talking about earlier, I had this installed when Safari first added support for ad blockers. That's when I tried it out, and I had it for a while, and then I ultimately just turned it off because I found I, like you were saying, Michael, I didn't really need it, but I still have it on my my system, and if I want to turn it back on, I can. But here's the scenario where I am using it and why I'm kind of picking it. So I have kids, and they have Macs, and a lot of times, like ads just like the imagery and stuff like that can be not appropriate, if that makes sense. And I use parental controls on their site, on their computers, and we have that stuff pretty locked down. And it's mostly just to avoid the situation where an errant link gets clicked on and some sort of pop-up might come up that just is not appropriate. Mail enhancements, you know, just all the things that the internet can sort of fly in your face. So I have One Blocker installed on their computers, and I have it cranked to block all those ads because they don't need to be seeing ads. They're doing homework. They're going to school stuff, you know, but they're going to places like Wikipedia or, you know, Merriam-Webster or wherever it might be. And the thing is these guys have just like Google ads or whatever, you know, ad services in there, and those are automated, and they don't know what, even those companies sometimes don't know what kinds of ads are like showing up in their sidebars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for them, you know, it's just, they don't need to see the ads. They don't need to be marketed to. And so a tool like this is actually really handy and convenient. So not all bad there. I think there's legitimate reasons where you might want an ad blocker. And so if you're looking for a really good one that has a lot of controls and a lot of settings and you can really kind of customize it, and it works both again on Mac and iOS in the same way, check out One Blocker, oneblocker.com, and it's the number one blocker.com.
Oneblocker.com.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
So you can, and it's free. You can smash this thing into your desktop. They do Safari.
They do have a premium service. I don't know what you get more with premium.
I think you can block anti-ad block. Man, this thing has a lot of good features. I use it. So I'm one of those people who, I don't block ads, but I like to block trackers.
Yeah.
I like to be tracked. I'm fine seeing ads. So that's what I have turned on for One Blocker. Is just it there. That is one of the
Michael,
options.
They're not customized.
I don't give a crap. They're never customized anyway. Well, apparently One Blocker is disabled.
I get it all the time now because like I'll go to sites like I go to Adafruit, whatever it might be. And then after I visited that for like the next 4 days, I just get Adafruit ads everywhere.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, so I have block trackers on, which is cool. I think if you... Yeah, so premium... So without premium, you can only do one at a time, one category at a time. So you can say block ad, block trackers, EU cookie notices, which I don't know what that is.
The European Union has a notice that has to pop up that says our site is using cookies, and you have to like say, yes, I know your site's using cookies, and that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, EU sites have to have any site that operates in the EU has to notify people that they use cookies.
Nice. You can block Facebook widgets.
Yep.
Twitter widgets. Block other share widgets. This thing's good, man. I might actually give him some money for this and install it on my desktop Safari. But yeah, so I'll give you a, well, crap. It's $10 in the Mac App Store. $5. So $10 to buy it. You have to just get it outright on the Mac App Store.
Oh, and maybe I did just buy it then. I must have just bought it.
If you have it on the Mac App Store, it looks like it's $10.
I think I also paid because I like the granular controls. So it's is nice. That what the difference is? Because I have all the granular controls. Yeah. So
yep.
I think I just bought it on both platforms.
You can also do a thing where it's a beta feature. You can select an area of a website that has content you don't like. So I think that'll, that is the one thing I hate the most about the internet is that like, you'll never believe this one trick. And it's on like the frickin' New York Times or whatever. Like, I know this is an image from the movie Limitless, and it's BS.
Right, or like the sponsored content
yes,
ones on
exactly.
Yahoo drive me batty.
That
bonkers,
is what I'm talking.
Because a lot of times they look like news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
totally.
They're not.
Ugh. Okay. Yeah. So one blocker has a little feature on the iOS app, and I'm guessing on your Mac app too. Yeah, where you can actually without leaving Safari. So there's a little widget. You say, hey, one blocker. You summon it, and then you tap on the area that you think is junky, and then it just nukes it.
But only that one area.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. I like that pick. So it's one blocker. $4.99 is the, let me see. I think that's the price. Let me see here. Yeah, $4.99 to get more than one category. But if you just want to block trackers, like that's what I've been doing, or ads, then you can do that too. And you get whitelist, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a good one. It has lots of good controls. And like I said, I use it for my kids' computers just because, you know, it was kind of the best way to handle that. Because just look at the ads, you know, that sometimes come up on sites, especially like those ones at the bottom of an article. That'll be like, you know, they're like going to collegehumor.com or whatever it might be.
Oh, is that where they go? I never
click them. I mean, here's on Yahoo. Selfies gone horribly wrong, right? And there's pictures of women with cleavage.
Oh, boy.
Or whatever it might be, you know?
Man, I hate when selfies go wrong.
What happened to Nina Hartley? And there's porn star images, you know.
I think there's
like, no, my kids don't need to see that.
What's that actress that was in like The Boss or Who's the Boss?
Oh, Alyssa Milano.
No, McCarthy.
Oh, Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. they had ads on Yahoo for her, Yahoo Answers for a time that said that she died.
Right.
Which is fun. Anyway, that's too much of a rabbit hole. You can find all of our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Give us some stars. And if you have any feedback for the show, feedback@theiosshow.com is the email address. And our sponsor this week is HelloFresh at HelloFresh.com. Use the code TIOSS30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com, Adam Christensen's at the MattCast and MattCast.com, and at MattCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here reluctantly.
Hey, you're welcome. I wasn't reluctant. Never reluctant. Always good to be here.
Baloney. You guys don't hear the discussion beforehand. It was like,
I was joking with you.
Always a jokester. And I am at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And with that, we'll talk to you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus?
Stylus.
You have to get them and put them away and you lose them.
Yuck.